Lord, we want to thank you this morning for your amazing grace. We want to thank you this morning that wherever we are, whatever we've been through, whatever we face, your grace doesn't change. And you renew your grace to us as if it were new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Lord, we just take this opportunity to reflect on how amazing you are. And how amazing you are with us. God, receive the worship of our lips, of our heads, of our hearts and our spirits. We want you to know, God, this morning, how much we love and appreciate you. Receive our praise, we pray. Amen. Amen. So we're looking this morning at the whole thing about autumn, and in particular, I want to focus in now a little bit more on leaves. And I shared a picture earlier on that looked like this, and I'm now going to focus on a picture that looks like that. And I'm hoping I've now organized my screen in such a way that I can still see some of you. No, it doesn't work. So I'm still playing with trying to work out, see how many of you I possibly can whilst also sharing the picture. I want you to focus in for a moment on a single leaf. Just look at the beauty of a single leaf. Here's a leaf in all the joyous colours of autumn with its yellows and reds and golds and oranges. The beauty that we see in the leaves in the autumn time. But as we focus in on the leaf, what does a leaf do for a plant? What does a leaf do? What's its design? What's its purpose? What does a leaf do? What does it actually do?
It gives it the energy to grow. It can makes its food. The green.
Yeah, so it's all about the energy. And what's the process that biologists describe that process of energy as?
Photosynthesis.
Thank you very much. Who thought you would hear the word photosynthesis as part of worship this morning? Put your hands down because you're lying. There you go. We can even include scientific terms into our worship this morning. Photosynthesis. Yes, it's all about energy. The energy to grow leaves and to grow stems and to grow flowers and to grow fruit. All of the energy that a plant needs is provided through and absorbed through the leaves of the plant. And so without leaves, there are no plants. There's nothing of any substance. So I just want you to focus in for a moment and think about what the leaf looks like in early spring. Cast your minds back just a few months. Think about a leaf in early spring. You get this tiny little bud that sprouts from a twig or from a leaf stalk, and a little bud begins to emerge. They're fragile and tender. And if we get a late frost, many of those early leaves, they get frozen and they don't develop and grow. Or they're susceptible to pests. Because they're really fragile. They haven't got all of their strength yet, but they're there and they've got the potential. They're just waiting to burst into life. And every plant puts out hundreds, if not thousands, of these little leaf buds, each one with the potential to grow and to provide the energy that the plant's going to need. And each of those leaves, when we look at one leaf in particular on the screen in front of us, each of those leaves is an amazing work of creation. When we look at the leaf, we see the way that it has a stem, the way that the stem feeds into these, like their veins, where the energy is absorbed. And then there's like a web that supports the structure of the leaf itself. Every part of the leaf is perfectly designed to maximize the energy that the plant can absorb. And then we cast our minds back just a little less of a way back into the height of summer. And we think about the way that the leaves on the plants are well established. They're doing their job of taking in all that lovely energy, and they're turning it into the flowers and the fruit and all the things that we want the plant to produce. And the leaves are healthy and they're lush and they're bright green and they're really vibrant and the colours are really amazing. And it's only if they're maybe scorched by the sun, if there's a drought and they don't have enough water, or if they're attacked by pests like aphids or caterpillars, that we see the health of the leaf somehow breaking down. But most of the leaves that we see as we walk along the hedgerows, as we cycle along, as we walk along, they're just bursting with this life, this green, vibrant life in the height of summer. And then comes the autumn. And in the autumn, the job of the leaf is done. It's game over. It's done what it was designed to do. It's time for the tree or the bush or the plant to absorb all that energy back into itself, back into its trunk, back into its roots, burying that energy deep underground to protect it from the frosts and the harshness of winter. And as the daylight levels begin to drop, as the temperatures begin to drop, so what happens within the leaves is all that green stuff gets turned into a starch, and it changes the colour and the nature of the leaves. They become more brittle, and they turn their colours into these fantastic, beautiful colours of autumn. And the plant begins to look ahead, and it begins to think about next year, and it begins to think about how it's going to survive the leanness of winter. And so it sheds all of its leaves. And I just want you to think for a moment about that journey of the leaf through a year. Take a moment to reflect on the amount of energy and the amount of effort it takes to produce a single leaf. And how much effort and energy plants go into producing all of that leaf mass. How vital every single one of those leaves are for the life and the health of the plant. And yet, when the time is right, how readily the plants shed their leaves. They recognize they've done their job. The season of growth and productivity and produce has ended, and now it's time to shed the leaves. And how with the autumn rains, how with the autumn winds, they, as we've already been thinking, they tumble to the ground. Sometimes they tumble in this beautiful, gentle kind of way that Emma was reflecting on earlier. And sometimes when the storms come, you'd wake up one morning and there's loads of, the night before there's loads of leaves, and the next morning it's almost as if they've all been dumped in your garden, and you're thinking, oh, I've got to go and sweep them all up. How they pile up in our gardens and parks and on the roads, and then the rain comes along and sweeps in into the drains and clogs up the drains and makes all the big puddles. And in the right place, they're beautiful, but in the wrong place, what a nuisance. How much work they give us to do, and how much tidying up we've got to do after them. And who looks at their neighbour's garden sometimes and thinks, look at all the leaves in their gardens, and look at the way the wind's going to blow it so it comes into our garden. Oh, bother. Why can't they have the trees in the other garden so that it blows down the road away from me and doesn't all blow into my garden, or is that just me? Anybody ever get cross with your neighbour's trees? Dump all their leaves in your garden?
Thankfully, the wind blows all mine into next door's.
So maybe there's a moment of consciousness emerging here about what we might want to do with our neighbours and offer to go around and clear. No, never mind. And as we reflect on the seasonality, the short-lived but wonderful nature of leaves, I'm going to take a moment to ask ourselves some questions. What do they show us about the nature of God? The God who designed trees to be the way they are. Does it give us any clues about the way that God thinks about things and maybe the way that we could think about things? What does it tell us about the marvel of our creator God that invests all that creative energy into a single leaf and then replicates that by the billions, trillions, gazillions that there are around the world, all of which are going to fall every year? The attention to detail that God has. And we're going to just reflect a little bit in a while on how much that tells us about the care of God, the love of God, the provision of God, and something deeper about God's purposes in the world. Before we do that, we're going to take an opportunity to reflect on some of those themes through song. And we're going to play another song, a different song. And this is a song that will be familiar to all of us, but being sung in a way that may be slightly less familiar. Our God, how great thou art. And God, when we take the time to notice your work in the world around us, when we take time to notice the buds and the blossoms, the leaves and the fruits, when we take time to notice the joy and the beauty of leaves in autumn, then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee. How great thou art. God, we thank you this morning for the beautiful joy of the world you've made. Thank you for the insignificance of a single leaf that can captivate our hearts and point us to you. God, we worship you for your amazing grace. Amen. Amen. So we're reflecting on the beauty of autumn and leaves in particular. And we know, don't we, that Jesus used the natural world, the world around him, to help people understand some really deep and significant spiritual truths. And I wonder what your favourite teachings from Jesus are about the natural world. Anybody got any, as I say those things, anybody have things pop into their head, some of the things that Jesus spoke about from drawing illustrations from the natural world that continue to resonate for you today? Any thoughts, any passages that come to mind? Yeah.
Parable of the sower.
Yeah, parable of the sower. Tell us a little bit more.
It's just a great scene where this, you know, the word of God goes out and people get a choice as to how they respond to it. And Jesus sort of tells them what you could do, suggesting what you should do. But he doesn't make anybody do everything, so he really leaves it with you. But it's just an encouragement to respond to Jesus in a gentle, very gentle way, but also very incisive. I just love the way he does that.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a culture where everybody would have sown seed, everybody understood the picture that Jesus was painting, it resonated deeply with their everyday or every year lived experience. So it made perfect sense to them and still does to many of us. Any other thoughts, any other passages come to mind, Jesus' teaching drawn from nature? Yeah, Lisa, yeah.
I think that it's not what Jesus said, but I suppose the Old Testament I love the analogies of the tree and the water and the life. And I'm just reflecting that I guess Jesus died on a tree. So it's quite profound, really. But I'm only just reflecting on it now. So.
Yeah, good, yeah.
The vine and the branches?
Yeah, tell us a little bit more.
Well, the idea that that we collectively are a vine, and occasionally the branches need trimming or pruning, which is the kind of thing a gardener does at this time of year.
Indeed. And vines, are they, I've forgotten what the word is, do they keep their leaves all year, or do they lose their leaves every year?
Are they deciduous? I can't remember.
I think they're deciduous.
Yes, we think they're deciduous.
They are, yep. Yeah.
Because, yes, and then the leaves come back and the fruit follows.
And more fruitful.
And they're more fruitful.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
So is Jesus pointing out anything about the fact that he is the vine, but the vine has to shed leaves on a regular basis? Does that resonate with us at all?
Yes, yeah.
Is that an analogy we've ever heard preached?
Once or twice, yeah. It goes back to Ecclesiastes and to everything there is a season.
Indeed.
Old and new fitting together. It's
like, yeah. I like the link.
It's almost like it was planned. Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So, other thoughts, other passages, other things resonate Jesus' teaching?
Sorry, I just have to throw this in because David's contribution has prompted me to say, Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
And he then said, and I will leave you my spirit. This is getting really bad. I'm just going to remind you, Lisa, you started this. Any other thoughts?
It's not quite a parable or a teaching, but thinking about the fact that Jesus had power over nature, that whatever we thought could, you know, we worry about a wind, a tornado, a storm, the rains, whatever, but Jesus was above and in control of that. So it's not quite a parable or a teaching, but it's...
I'm happy for you to say it. That's absolutely fine. Yeah, no, it's an example of Jesus' power. Yeah, Jesus relating to nature and having power and command over it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, including over the power of life and death.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Other thoughts? Anything else from nature? Any other ways that Jesus connected with nature?
Sheep.
Explain some more.
Well, you've got him. Sheep were a really important aspect of biblical life, a symbol of wealth and position. And you've got him being born, but with the shepherds present or visiting. You've got the idea of sacrifice for that, but you've also got the fact that people are sheep. And if one jumps high in the air for no reason, people are more than likely to do the same thing because we don't think as clearly as we ought to. And you've also got the tending of the shepherd and the guidance and the trust and relationship that a shepherd builds with his flock, knowing his voice and he knowing us, not mixing us up with anybody else. So sheep do it.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you. Yeah. Eric, you going to say something? Yeah.
In the epistles, it said, let us pray. Let us pray.
Thank you, Eric. We'll pray for you in a moment. And okay. Yes, any other salad-related puns? Anyone wants to... Lisa, I'm just going to remind you, you started this. Any other?
I need to say that with Eric, I've only just twigged what he said.
Yeah, we're now definitely branching in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So there's the wheat and the weeds, or the wheat and the tares, and how God gathers everything in and then he'll worry about sorting it later.
Mm.
Well done, David.
Yeah, sometimes we get a bit too hung up, don't we, on purifying the crop before it's ready for harvest.
Yep. Mm. And, yep.
Yeah. There's a parable about a tree that doesn't bear fruit. And says to the man, and the gardener says, don't chop it down now, just we'll dig around it for a little bit and then we'll see if it produces fruit next year. And that speaks to me that Christ wants us to bear fruit and he's patient to bear fruit, but we are supposed to bear fruit.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, good stuff.
It's interesting that most of the gardening and harvesting metaphors in the parables talk about patience. Talk about waiting, talk about things happening in God's time rather than in a rush.
Yeah.
Like we want them to.
Yes. But also, as Marx has pointed out, are all about productivity.
Yes.
There is an expectation of productivity.
Hmm.
There's the parable of the lost sheep when one of the 100 sheep goes missing and he leaves the 99 sheep and goes and looks for the one that's missing. So
yeah,
we are all... regardless of what we do in our lives, we are all cared for and valued.
Yeah, absolutely. Every individual is noted and noticed and valued. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Any other contributions? So I'm going to read some of the slightly adapted teachings of Jesus. It's not taken from one particular passage or place, but it's adapted from a number of different places. And I want you just to use this as an opportunity to reflect. You might want to focus on the picture on the screen, looking at the leaves that are there, or you might want to close your eyes and just let the words kind of penetrate and to reflect on them. Whatever you would prefer. But I want you, as I read, I want you to listen for the voice of God. For the voice of God speaking into your mind, speaking into your heart, speaking into your spirit, however God speaks to you. I want you to listen for his voice, what he might prompt in your thinking and in your feeling and in your spirit. So take a moment just to be ready to listen.
Okay.
And decide whether you want to close your eyes or whether you want to focus on the leaves. Consider the leaves on the trees. They do not work to earn money to make themselves more comfortable or splendid. But they have everything they need to grow and thrive. They turn their faces to the sun and receive the warmth it sends their way, whether they deserve it or not. Their faces are turned upwards to receive the rain and direct it to nourish their roots. They lack for nothing. And think how beautiful the trees are in spring when the buds and the blossoms are bursting into life. And how rich the hedgerows in summer in their verdant greens. And yet it is only in the autumn that we truly notice the beauty of these creations as they turn to reds, oranges, yellows, and gold. Even Solomon in all his glory could not compete against the splendour with which our trees are arrayed. And yet God makes them new in each season. They burst forth in the spring, last through the summer, and yet by the autumn are being swept into piles to be turned into compost or leaf mould. A beautiful nuisance that messes up the lawn. Waiting for the tramp of boots, the kicking of children, the cling of mud. Where the worms wait to begin to break down the leaf matter into nutrients to feed the soil. Let him, her, or them who have ears to hear, hear. And eyes to see the kingdom of God being unveiled. A question. Why would our Heavenly Father spend so much effort for such a short amount of time? Why invest so much beauty for just a few short weeks of colour? Is it really worth it? What are your thoughts?
It's tempting to judge worth and usefulness by our criteria instead of God's. For us, a few short weeks, it's different. But in God's eyes, when something's worth doing, and because of his love for what he does, it always is worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Other thoughts?
I sometimes call this the gratuitous beauty of the earth, because it seems that it didn't need to be that beautiful, really. It would still work and function perfectly well, really, without being beautiful. But God has made it beautiful. I think he says he has made everything beautiful in its time. And I think it's just a reflection of God's goodness and perhaps heaven as well, really. It's the mark of the maker, really, knowing that we see good things in this earth and we see bad things. And when we're with him in glory, we'll just see all the great things and they'll be even greater than what we see now.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and there's something, isn't there, about form and function can get in the way of our appreciation of the beauty. We need to take time to pause, to see, really see the beauty. Other thoughts?
I think I like what David said about the patience side of it, that it is linked to that attentiveness, isn't it? That if we choose to let go of our own agendas, we let go of our own thoughts of what we want to happen, we can see beauty in the midst of everything if we choose to look, I guess. And Leeds remind me of that. You know, when we first moved to our house, I was always really moany about all these leaves, and now I 3 or 4 years later I still moan about them, but if I take the time to enjoy being out there, I have the most amazing time with God, like I did on Thursday, where God is just shouting his love in so many directions. But I think we have to choose to notice or choose to be open to what he's telling us through his creation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Eric, you were going to say something? Yeah.
You take with trees that 1 year is the growth of that tree. So it takes a year for that tree to grow so much. And this goes on and on. So whether if we didn't have the years and the season, would that growth take place?
Yeah. And that speaks of God's care over generations, doesn't it? It's not just a fleeting thing in one season or another. It takes time. And yeah, the tree develops over time. We develop over time. Time is important. Yeah.
I wanted to say something about connectedness. You know, we've talked about the connectedness of the leaf to the tree. And, you know, what that is symbolic of, really, I suppose, in kind of our individual relationship with God. But it's been realised or discovered over the last couple of decades that actually trees are connected to each other, and they warn each other of danger, sending out pheromones or something into the air. And their root systems also connect. They speak to each other. They let each other know things we don't know. We can't speak that language, but they definitely communicate with each other. And that reminds me again of our individual connectedness and how together we are stronger than individually.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were created to live in community. We weren't created to be islands, quoting John Donne. So, all that effort, is it really worth it? Was the question I asked. And I think we've answered that from God's point of view, unequivocally, the answer is yes. It is God's joy, it's God's delight to invest the energy, the creativity, the passion into creating something that will grow and be beautiful in their own seasons. And I think it's a reflection of God's heart, of God's nature, God's character, that God loves beauty, that God delights in seeing the beauty of creation develop. And we too can find joy, can't we, when we take the time to notice and delight in the beauty of God's creation. It points to the fact that our God, the sustainer of life, notices every bud that opens, every flower or piece of fruit that's produced, even when we have our grandkids come and pluck it from the tree. God rejoices in the abundance of all that is made. And we too can be nourished, can't we? Our spirits, our mental health, our bodies can be nourished when we too take the time to notice what is going on in the natural world, to use our senses to see, to smell, to taste, and to use our minds and our brains to reflect and to imagine, to become aware. I think God is all about life, life in all its fullness and richness. And I think what we've been reflecting on this morning is an indication of what that life in all its fullness is meant to include. I love the fact that leaves are in no rush. Leaves only get stressed when drought or pests interrupt the natural flow of nutrients and water and all that kind of stuff. Leaves in and of themselves are content to play their part, to do what they were made to do. Not trying to be something other than that they are. Leaves are inherently secure in their temporary nature. They're happy to embrace the season, to grow, to energize, or to die when the time is right. To know that today they might bring growth, and tomorrow they might fall and be nutrients for next year's growth. There's something about the circle of life, to quote the Lion King. There's something about being content, about being secure, about being unhurried, and living moment by moment, day by day, season by season, and finding fulfillment, a deep, deep, deep sense of fulfillment. I wonder, as we reflect on these things, I wonder whether anyone, as Lisa was doing towards the beginning, I wonder if anyone has been able to reflect on their own experience, maybe of leaves or of autumn or of life or of the things that we've shared this morning, and have a sense of what God might be showing you in this season. How has God spoken to you this morning, maybe, or in recent days as you've engaged with the natural world? What is God stirring in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit? What has God reminded you as we've reflected on different bits of scripture together? How, as a result of our reflection this morning, have you been prompted to choose a different path through this autumn and maybe into life beyond? Yeah, Terry.
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not scientific at all. It just is not something I do well. But I was reading not so long ago that the autumn colours that you see, the trees, some trees go yellow, some go gold, some go different reds and things. All of that potential is built into the leaf. So that once its primary function has passed and the chlorophyll, the green, recedes from the leaf, the underlying colours shine through. So it's not, it's almost like a burst of rejoicing from the leaf. I've done my bit, I've done my part, and there's a celebration in the colour that follows. But it's part of the internals of the leaf itself, and every leaf has its own potential to have a secondary purpose, which is just the joy of colour in the autumn. And I like that. I like the fact that, yes, there's function, yes, there's a time of working and purposefulness, but when that purpose itself has been fulfilled, it's not just pure waste. It is that secondary celebratory energy, if you will, that shines forth outside of function. It's pure creativity. It's pure joy and enjoyment of change. Before then comes the time for detachment and rebirth within the mulch and the soil that's there.
Yeah.
So there is never just one level with God. There's never just one part or one aspect. There is joy in other bits that you don't get to see all the time, that have a time and a place to show forth.
Yeah. I was talking about 18 months ago now, I was talking to Trevor, Trevor Woodgett, who most of us know, and he had been coming to the community centre and taking part in art classes. And in retirement, having laid down his role as a pastor and all those kind of things, he had discovered, rediscovered his love of drawing and painting. And some of us might be connected with him on Facebook, and we would have seen some of the paintings that he's been able to produce over these last couple of years. And he was reflecting on the fact that for his working life, he worked hard and he achieved lots of things. But his sense of inner fulfillment, having retired from his work, is on a different level. It's not saying that one's better or worse, but what he's getting out of being able to express himself artistically, creatively, in what we might see as retirement and the twilight years of his life — he'd probably hate me for thinking of his current age as being the twilight years of his life. Forgive me, Trevor. But he's discovered the beauty and the joy that can come from having time after his working life. Yeah. So he's coming into his autumn and is discovering the beauty of color and form in a way that he couldn't do when he was working. And so I'm just applying some of what Terry was just reflecting on there through Trevor's story. And I'm sure some of us, maybe, who've got to that stage of life ourselves — I'm thinking of Eric with your wood turning, for example — some of us have discovered the joy of having time, of being with things in a way that we didn't have the time to do when we were younger. And so we can often ourselves, can't we? We can rush through life thinking that it's about being busy, 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 producing lots of fruit. But actually, there's a season in which we can just enjoy being the autumn leaves and letting the beauty of all that God has done in us and through us over many years shine through in a way that is beyond production. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does.
So if you're in the autumn years of your life, then we want to say this morning, we see and we value the beauty of all that you've been through and done, as God shines the beauty of the oranges and golds and yellows through you. Honour you.
Amen.
Amen.
Any other thoughts? Any other reflections? Anything that God's been stirring in you this morning?
Just an observation on kind of leaves falling in wind, and the same with snowstorms, that actually chaos and change is exhilarating.
Yeah. 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 Without death, there isn't life. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Anyone else like me, like going out in a storm when the wind's really blowing hard and the rain's lashing it down, but there's something so powerful and exhilarating? You feel alive, don't you?
It's called dog walking.
Or God walking, maybe.
Both.
Anything else anyone wants to reflect on this morning?
Danny, can I be awkward and say, could we go full screen on people so that... you know, it's just nice.
That's not being awkward.
To see who's talking as well. Thank you.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like just to take a moment or two, just in quiet, just to bring all of our thoughts before God, and just invite each one of us quietly, silently, to give thanks for the things that we have felt stirring within us, touched by this morning. And then we'll finish with a final song, and then we'll talk a little bit more beyond that about what's coming next.
Loving Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, that what Danny has just said about the fact that we've worked our lives busy and then in our retirement, Lord, we've found that we've got time to do the things that has been there since we were in our teens. And we thank you, Lord, and bless you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace and your goodness to us that enabled us, Lord, to live our lives and then find a useful hobby in our retirement. Lord, we praise you for that. And thank you, Lord, that you've enabled us to live to do that. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I just want to thank you for this morning and for all that we've been able to share and to understand about you and your love for your creation. Lord, I'm just reminded that as much as the snowflakes, each one is different. As much as the leaves on the trees, each one is different. Every tree grows in its own direction and none of them are wrong. Father, they are as nature intended them to be. Father, I just want to thank you that in you there is the love of variety and the love of difference and the love of interconnectedness and the love of expression. And Lord, you just delight in all that is created. Help us, Lord, to remember that and not to worry that we're not quite this or we're not quite that or somebody else is this and we're not. But Father, you created us all as we are, in whom we are, for your purpose. And Lord, if we haven't found it yet, there's loads of time in you to discover what you have laid down for us. Lord, help us to be confident in your acceptance of us and help us to nourish and to refine and to challenge ourselves to be all that you want us to be. Thank you for the security we have in stepping out to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, Lord, I just want to echo Eric and Terry's prayers, Lord, and just thank you that you've shown us this morning, reminded us how amazing you are, Lord, that your creation just shouts out love. It shouts out who you are, and it shouts out your mercy and grace to us, Lord, as we think of resurrection and renewal and the life of that, the trees and the leaves, Lord. And Lord, I'm just reminded as well of this time in COVID of theatre and dance and arts and music and just so many struggles, Lord. We are made in your image, and you have created so many beautiful things in this world through people. Lord, I just pray that this would be a season where you speak to us, Lord, about people that just need to become aware of your love and your creation, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that this would be a release, a time of release of creativity, Lord. And Lord, I pray it will start with us and that we might bear fruit for your name, Lord. Thank you again for the reminder of your love, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the images that we haven't reflected on this morning is the way that the leaf has to let go of the tree in order to fall. A And there's a song that I want to use to finish our time together this morning that reflects on that aspect. It recognizes that when the leaves fall, they are finally free. This is a song that some of us might be familiar with. It's from a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and we may have be familiar with it, or we may not be familiar with it, but the words are really, I think the words are really quite fitting for this morning, and it's one of the only ones I could find in the whole repertoire of all the songs that have been written over the years that talks about the leaves in autumn. So that's the reason, not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons. Finally free from Rent. So may we who are finally free live the joy of the risen Christ, celebrating the beauty of creation in his Spirit. And may the world know, because it shines through us like the gold and the red and the orange of a rusting leaf in autumn. To the glory of God. Amen. That's us done for this morning, and thank you for joining us.